Blog Talk Radio.
To discuss and enjoy all aspects of the written brevity. It is my great pleasure to welcome my co-host, Diane D. Hi, Dawn. How you doing, Diane?
Oh, Weaver, my friend, I'm great today. How are you?
I'm fine, except the world and the PC world in particular conspires against me every week. But I'm here. I'm switched on, turned on, and calm.
There you go. That's the best way to beat the PC world is to log on and see if you can mess it up.
Well, that would be easy.
Because you can't do anything about it.
Exactly. We are powerless. Okay, so I can see we've got lots of wonderful beverages on the board. A couple of carryovers from last week, I think, to start with. And then on to this week's prompt, my favorite, humor. So I think we should get on with the show, do you think, perhaps?
Absolute. Let me grab the first write here. And we are looking at a write by Barbara G. And I will go ahead and give that a read.
Thank you.
Oh, Bob. Green grass, warm sun, Bob could forget. The aching in his joints and paws. He seemed to bounce with every step. Bob looked and sniffed and didn't pause. And when he reached the doggy park, could hardly wait to be unleashed. Bob felt compelled to give a bark. His joy of life had not yet ceased. Such thrilled the sight of other pups. Bob even tried to chase a few. It's clear his time is not yet up. But when it comes, what will I do? Oh, Bob, my dear friend, true and true. End poem.
Oh, that was lovely, wasn't it? Oh, nothing nicer than a little dog to take for a walk. You could walk for miles with your dog, can't you? Yes, I thought this was absolutely lovely. I mean, look at that picture for a start. Isn't that enlivening? So, Bob, old friend, I hope you're still with us. It looks like maybe you are. So, yes, beautiful, beautiful poem about a very dear friend. And what did you think, Diane?
I really enjoyed this, Barbara, and her wit in the author's notes there. The only creatures that are evolved enough to convey pure love are dogs and infants. I love that, Johnny Depp. That is cute. And everyone needs a Bob, an old Bob, you know. I don't remember any time in my life I had a Bob. But, you know, like just not that I have found the puppy, because like I said, I think a while ago we had these strays and we adopted them and they adopted us. But aww, just to have a Bob and to be able to put it to words and describe it and take me back to the theme of last week, you know, dogs and puppies and stuff. So great job, Barbara. Excellent, right?
Definitely, definitely. I think I agree with you totally. I've married a couple of Bobs, but I only have had one dog. Okay, my dear, where are you taking us next?
Where I am taking us next is a write called How I Met Your Mother by Hess. And would you like to give that a read, my girl?
I certainly would. How I Met Your Mother. That sounds dangerous. I met an oomph girl at the bar. We arranged a date on the beach. Guys were climbing, jumping, diving off wooden pillars. I saw her from a distance. She wore a red yellow swimsuit, hair loose, two thin pigtails twisted along her face. She looked like a mermaid. Her eyes anxiously scanned the beach. I was to blame. I was half an hour late. A bad sick. I did not arrive alone, but with my younger brother. My parents trusted me. They needed to go to the hospital. My grandmom was recovering from gallbladder surgery. I came close and nervously said, "Hi." She replied, almost crying, "It was supposed to be our intimate moment." Her gaze stopped on my brother, singing a song from Teletubbies, throwing pebbles into the water. "To shit is an intimate moment," shouted my brother. I rolled my eyes. To my surprise, the mermaid burst out laughing and began throwing pebbles. More guys jumped into the water shouting, my bro singing Teletubbies. Her eyes reflected the sea's color. Soft laughter wrinkles formed around her neck, her eyes. Azure sky and sea, wet goosebumps of summer, blues of nostalgia. End poem.
Wow.
Right, would you like to make a comment about this one, my dear?
Certainly would. I enjoyed this right from the very first words. I met an oomph girl at the bar. I like that. It opens up the paragraph with, this is where we're at. We arranged a date on the beach. And just the story and following it through and telling the story. And I have to tell you, I love this one. I'm really keen on this one because it took me back to Teletubbies when my little girl, she adored the purple Tinky Winky. She loved that Teletubby. And I have a picture to this day of her about 2 years old in a little Teletubby Halloween costume. And I just, that that show and those characters, it gives me a warm feeling. And here she says, "You shit is in an intimate moment," shouted my brother. I rolled my eyes. I like the humor in here. I love the story in here and the flow to it. She just did a wonderful job with this. Awesome job, Hat. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree. I mean, even the picture shows you what's going on, doesn't it? Everybody leaping into the water of macho men. But I thought this was absolutely lovely. It was so easy to be there with them in that moment. It was so well described that you knew exactly what expression was on everybody's face. Can you imagine? She's waiting for this guy she quite fancies, and he turns up with his brother. That's street cred gone. But yes, it turned around. It was wonderful. The little boy managed to make her laugh, and everything was great again. So yes, beautifully done. Such a soft, sweet look back at youth, and I thought it was wonderful. Thank you so much, Hats. It was really good.
Yeah, it certainly was.
And where are we going next, Diane?
Next, we are going off to Raspberry-licious by Laughing Soul. And would you like to read that one, Weaver?
Yes, of course. Give me a second just to open it up. Raspberry-licious. Oh, look at them. Wow. Tempting my utmost desires, your licious attire, glancing at me, blushing pink, melting my heart. Only if someone had warned, every fruit ain't strawberry, not every beholder a lovesome art. End poem. Beautiful. Okay, Diane, what would your thoughts be?
This is so short and sweet. It is a true brevity, and the title, Raspberry-licious, I just love it. And my lips long for your kisses on the summer day, touch of raspberry. I just love it. And then to end with the humor of every fruit ain't a strawberry. It was just, it's so cute. I enjoyed it. It made me smile. And thank you for that, Laughing Soul.
Yes, I agree. I mean, even the picture looks luscious. I love the command of the language that Laughing Soul has. Even the fact that the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line down is bold, so you can see only if someone had warned. Yeah. You can look, and it's not until you taste that you know what you've got. That's my opinion on life. So it's quite interesting, doesn't it? Yes, you definitely have to be aware. Because, you know, people can look wonderful. People can look sweet and smiling at you, but they're not always that way inclined. So, yes, as we go through life, unfortunately, we learn those little things, don't we? I don't want to learn them, but you have to. So, yes, I thought Laughing Soul, that was absolutely lovely and raspberry-licious. And thank you for sharing it with us. Okay, my dear, where do we go next?
Well, first, that was a great take on the metaphor there. I didn't pick up on the metaphor of, like, not everyone is the same, right? Not everybody's a strawberry in life, and not every fruit is a strawberry, and not every person is a strawberry or what you expect them to be. That was a, you know, great metaphor. So next we are going to Humpty Dumpty Went to a Celebration by Random Scribbler.
Oh, I love that.
Would you like to read it?
Yeah, of course. Let me just get this up. Sorry. I'm a bit behind. I was just enjoying that. Okay. Humpty Dumpty went to a celebration. Okay. I'm with you. On a wall. To see the girls of Mr. Perrier dance. Cigarette in one hand. Guess the brand. Was it Marlboro or Pall Mall? It was not. Jajum de Jerum Black. Goblet in another, what was his poison? Wine or vodka? Methinks it was gin. Shiny crown and scarlet cheeks, with eyes askance and droopy lips. Unsmiling, he was upset about something. When asked, he wasted no time in complaining. Those three misses, with all their airs and graces, they can't distinguish a gentleman. Me sitting on the top, let alone pay me attention, not one is even looking in my direction. End poem. Right. What was your comments on this, please, Diane?
Oh, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the humor in it, the funny story, the tale of going to a celebration, Humpty Dumpty, and meeting, you know, the girls of Mr. Piera. And he's got the cigarette in one hand. I can just picture Humpty Dumpty. It's just, it's so cool. It's funny. It's well written. And the word choice, shiny crown and scarlet cheeks, but eyes askance and droopy lips. Just creating this wonderful character out of Humpty Dumpty, this with this cigarette in one hand and goblet in the other. Was he drinking wine or vodka? He thinks it was gin. This is just so cute and enjoyable. Awesome take on the humor prompt and great addition for today. Thank you so much, Random Scribblers.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? It was lovely. And I love the little faces, the little, I can't say the word, emojis that you see there at the end of each line. I thought that was lovely. Lovely little touch to it. I didn't know you could get so many different expressions. Look at that. Yes, well done. I thought that was a lovely take on good old Humpty Dumpty, who never looked particularly happy, did he, when you think about it? You think he knew what was coming? I mean, if you're an egg and you sit on a wall, maybe the daftest thing you've ever done, but possibly a very nice scramble. Yes, I thought this was done beautifully, Random Scribbler, and thank you for that smile. I know I'm going to enjoy today so much. I love these humorous little things that people give us to read. Right, my darling, where are we going next?
Next we will go to a write called The Computer Affair by the writer. I'm sorry, just a sec.
It's okay, no problem.
Could you go ahead and read that for me, please, Weaver? I'm having a little technical trouble.
No problem. Computer Affair by the writer. I know this sounds strange and a bit rare. I need to admit I am involved in a computer affair. I can't let her go until our love is straight. I don't care if she has Windows 95 or 98. I love how to perform and automatically upgrade, watching over my finances when I get paid. I got a message from a psychic that said, send money and make a wish. But you said, alert, traces of catfish. Sometimes I'm hesitant to buy, but the love forced me to spend. 3 days later, Amazon is knocking at my door again. My words to her were, I love the way you dirty type. You greet me in the morning and send me away at night. I want to be your CPU, your internal component. I want to perform for you. I want to study your dictionary file. I want to feel your structure and get to know you for a while. You restart my world. Sign me up and shut me down. Just get a message. This file cannot be found. I don't know Susan or Pam. They just follow me on Instagram. I'm trying to escape, but these ads are persistent with their promotional dates. Sometimes the messages go through, or they error and fail. I still love to hear that lady say, you got mail. End poem. All right, my dear, how are you getting on with your problems?
I am good.
You know, did you manage to hear that while you were working away, or while I make comments while you're...
Oh, I certainly did. Did you want me to go ahead and comment on that?
Yes, please.
Yes, Computer Affair. This took me to, I'm a geek. I don't know how many of us know that, but I'm a computer geek, and I love this, right? I love his affair with the computer, and it doesn't matter if she has Windows 95 or 98. It's windows, you know, and this is just the relationship with the computer. And then the final line, I love that last line. You got mail, and it took me back to, remember AOL when mail just came out and it was, you'd get a message in your system, you got mail. And it was like, it took me back to a long time ago. That was, AOL was a long time ago for mail. But yeah, it was well written. It made me laugh all the way through. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I want to be your CPU, your internal component. I want to perform for you. It's just like, you know, a love affair with a computer. I am ashamed to say, but not ashamed to say, I totally relate. I have a love affair with my computer. I just bought myself a brand new Acer Aspire 5, and I'm not all the time excited about it. So, Weaver, I just want to say as well, I think we have someone calling into the show. I'm not sure.
I think you could be right, my dear. Okay, Pam just told me. Thank you, Pam. Hi, Dan, can you hear me okay, my dear? Welcome.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
It's going. So
Dan,
good to have
we're
you with
so
us.
Glad you could join us.
I'm
yes,
glad
yes.
to join.
You may
Thank
not
you
be
for having me.
Finished. Oh, we're happy to have you. Thank you. And just let me say, if anybody else would like to ring in, it would be wonderful. I mean, we're all here having fun. It's a humorous evening, afternoon. It's evening for me. I'm sorry to get mixed up. And it's so nice to hear you, Dan. So you may be put to work in a moment, but just settle in and relax. You're in safe hands. That's safe hands with Diane, not with me. Okay, my darling, where are we going next? Okay, thank you. Where are we going next, my dear?
Well, did you want to comment on computer affair?
I did because you were busy.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Did Dan get to read it?
No, he didn't. Dan, did you manage to catch this and do you want to make a comment?
I've read it while I was getting logged in, I guess. Yeah, this is a very humorous piece. I enjoy the way he wrote it. There's a lot of terminology in here for those of us that have been with computers for a little while. But I love the way you dirty type and greet me in the morning
yeah.
and send me away at night. You put a lot of little Easter eggs, I guess you could say. And I like how he kind of highlighted them, too. I keep saying he. I didn't see who wrote this. Okay, yeah. I got that right, I guess. But I do like how he kind of highlighted them, too. So you can kind of you don't really miss them. But I thought it was really well done.
I agree in total. I mean, I'm going to put this away to the side because all those highlighted little sayings and words are really handy for me. I've been playing with computers for years, but I've never said I'm very good at it. And by the way, may I say, Dan, love your accent. I love all the American accents and the Canadian accents. They are so, I mean, I'm in Scotland, so we all sound, you know, guttural and dour, but it's lovely to hear that. So.
The grass is always greener. I love yours.
Thank you. I don't think I've got an accent. Dear me. Thank you. Anyway, right, we should be getting on. It's having too much fun here. Diane, would you like to tell us where we're going next?
Yes, we are going to another write by the writer C, and it is called Dear Your Honor. Now, would you like to give that a read, Dan? Are you muted on us?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. Is it under brevity? I don't see it yet.
I'm putting them into late night poets, Diane, just to let you know. But I'm a little bit late on that.
I'll swap over.
I put it into brevity.
Yeah, I'll try and remember to put them in.
Oh,
have
it might
you got
just,
it yet? You may just have to refresh. It tends to hide and lurk. Last week I was putting in everything in twice because I didn't see it.
Dear Your Honor, is that it?
That's the one,
yes.
My dear.
Okay. And this is by the writer C. Dear
yes,
Your Honor,
right.
Please send out an APB because my love is at large. Count one, count two, I'm guilty as charged. I don't want to be free. Take a look at the exhibit. A to C, there's overwhelming evidence all against me. Exhibit A, this is my shirt that she wore. Exhibit B, those are her panties that hit the floor. Exhibit C is the love letter she wrote to me. Your Honor, accept my plea. I am in love. I don't want to be free. Evidence, my fingerprints were found all over her home, and photos of me were saved in her Galaxy phone. Surveillance spotted us inside Bob's Cafe, 90 miles east of L.A. Dear Your Honor, accept my plea. I am in love. I don't want to be free. No need to appeal. My love is for real. If she had another, I would have to steal. Dear Your Honor, I'll take it to trial. Please accept my plea. Whatever you do, don't let me go free. If I say I don't love her, arrest me on perjury. And that's by Chris Turner, Jr., in poem.
Thank you so much, Dan. That was beautifully, beautifully read. And Diane, your comments, my dear.
Well, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed both these writes by writer C. Please send out an all-points bulletin because my love is at large. Count one, count two, I'm guilty as charged. I love it. Love the opening, the rhyming, the poetic devices used here. I don't want to be free. Take a look at exhibit A to C. There's overwhelming evidence all against me. It's just excellent, really well-written, great take on taking a trial to about someone you love and you don't want to be free and you're guilty as charged. That's awesome. It's really well-written and clever. I'm really impressed with the creativity. And thank you again, Writer C, for sending these in.
Oh, yes, exactly. I think this is very clever. I wondered at the beginning what on earth he's done to be on trial. I was a little bit worried for him. I thought, what's he been up to? But so, Dan, your comments, please.
Yeah, this is another good one. I like how he used the courtroom to showcase his love. And some of these lines just had me chuckling as I was reading them. It was kind of hard. Exhibit A, this is my shirt that she wore. Exhibit B, those are her panties that hit the floor. And then he breaks it down into the evidence. And all along, he keeps going back to this refrain of, Dear Your Honor, accept my plea. I'm in love. I don't want to be free. And it kind of reminded me of an old country Western song. What was it? Thorne Jones, I'm guilty of love in the first degree. It kind of reminded me of that a little bit. But I thought he did it really, really well. Thank you.
I agree. I think he did too. I love country music. Always have done. But I don't like the older stuff. I don't like the when the roof comes off the house and the dog dies and the wife leaves. I don't play them backwards. I don't want to hear that. I want the happy, lovey kind of stuff. So I don't listen to the old stuff. I don't need to be depressed anymore. Ah, dear. Okay, Diane, my darling. Everybody's commented, I think. Would you like to tell us where we're going next?
Yes. Next, we are going to a write called It Crossed the Road by Mark Loopy. And Weaver, would you be able to give that a read?
I will, my dear. Just let me get to it. I'm afraid I'm not able to see it as yet. It Crossed the Road by Mark Loopy. I'm just going to copy that link so I can put it into, I'll put it into the other one. Okay. It Crossed the Road. Ha! Enormous guffaw at a joke that normally no way would invoke. Spluttering, astonished laughter. That's incredible. Choking, eye-bulging wheezes pounding upon the table. Body dies floundering around the aisles among more manly, disdainful smiles. Mannerly, disdainful smiles. Elegant curled nostrils who rigidly sup at tea. Oh, pale ones, drink it up. Like to die. Oh, anything is funny. Why did the chicken? Why? End poem. So good. So good. Right, they crossed the road. Very good. Okay, Dan, what would you like to comment on this?
You said me. Sorry, I'm trying to eat, so I'm muting.
You need to get some soup. You can suck it through a straw. We'll never know.
Well, I have to say this is a lot funnier than the original ones you hear of why the chicken crossed the road. But I like how he extended up on that idea. Like to die. Oh, anything is funny. Why did the chicken? Why? But, yeah, he kind of, in the style that he kind of wrote it too, is a little, I like how it's kind of free verse where it's not set syllable count, which sometimes works beautifully. And then other times, I don't think it really fits the subject matter. And this has a sort of almost a chaotic feel to it, almost like that chicken, you know, running through traffic. But no, I really enjoyed this one. I thought he did a good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. I totally agree with you. Very clever. I like a clever piece of writing. Sorry, Dan, have you commented on this?
No, I didn't. This was really funny. I enjoyed this. This was the chicken, like Mark or Dan said, the chicken. It is a bit chaotic. It's like, where is this chicken going? And like to die. Oh, anything is funny. Why did the chicken? Why? I love it. It's just great humor, great write, just excellent job of the chicken crossing the road. It's excellent. Great job.
Yes, I like it a lot. Because you hear it all the time, do you, the chicken jokes. And this, as you say, is a lovely take on it. I love the elegant curled nostrils, so who rigidly sup at tea. Oh, pale ones, drink it up. That may be a little dig at the British amongst us, whereas in my country, we would be drinking whiskey. Doesn't matter what day, what time, it's whiskey. So we're not so fond of the tea. Yes, I thought it was beautifully done. I liked it very much. Thank you, Mark. As usual, wonderful, wonderful job. Okay, Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, next. We are going to Without a Past by Neeti Bhandari. And I will go ahead and read that. Without a Past preserved its novelty since eternity, unreachable to the lightkeeper and distant tourist, brushes the gushing clouds with its crown. A dream destination without a path. End poem.
Oh, yes, beautifully read. Thank you. Dan, would you like to comment, please?
I don't think this one is meant to be humorous, which is totally fine. It's nice to break it up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of beautiful. It almost seems like he's describing a dream here. And in fact, I get down further, a dream destination without a path, which could be taken in a lot of different ways. But to me, this does seem like the whole piece is describing a dream. And I just think it's beautiful. I thought he made some excellent word choices and gorgeous.
Thank you. I agree totally. That, Diane, what would you like to comment?
Well, this was sad. I felt sad, like without a path. I mean, what a place to be. I think to be without a path is a place of alone and you know, brushes the gushing clouds with its crown. Great choice of words, excellent alliteration. A dream destination without a path. I kind of felt a sadness with it. It was, but beautiful, like Dan said, beautifully written, well written, and very enjoyable. It was sad, but it was like so touching.
Yes, I agree. Preserved its novelty since eternity because it's unreachable. It's a place he would like to be, but no one can get there. Keepers and distant tourists all kept away because of its novelty and its unreachableness. And then you have brushing the gushing clouds with its crown, a dream destination without a path. That must be awful, wasn't it, to not have, to see what you want. And that's basically what it is. You see what you want, but you can't get there. No matter which way you try, it's still out of reach. That can't be a happy place to be. Yes, I think it's beautifully written and well done. Very well done. And thank you for sharing that with us. Sweet. Right, Diane, my dear, where are we going next?
Well, first of all, Bobby has joined us. Bobby is joining us. I don't know if she's joined us yet. She will be joining us. So
excellent.
Absolutely. And we can go ahead and read Mangy Cat by Lady Idealist. And Dan, would you like to give that a read?
Okay. This is by Lady Idealist, like you said. Mangy Cat. Paw stuck in a mat, you mangy cat. I wouldn't want you to pat, but there you sat in a mat. I see history repeating what is that. You fluffy brat. I may hate you, but you are stubbornly fat. Why do you keep repeating that? Now you are just an angry cat. Look at that mat. What a demise where you sat. Watch out for me, pussycat. I'm going to get you with that. My hands hold the swat. In bone.
Thank you, Dan. That was beautiful. Mangy cat. Diane, would you like to make a comment about this?
Yes, I certainly would. Mangy cat, Lady Idealist. I love this. Who's with me? Is this not like a Dr. Seuss special? I love the rhyme and the story, and it's got that Dr. Seuss feel. I smiled all the way through, and I could see this big, tall, red and white hat. It was just so enjoyable and very, all the way through, look at that mat. What a demise where you sat. Watch out for me, pussycat. Just love the rhyming, love the story, the tune, the flow, just excellent, right?
Hello.
Hey, Bobby, that you?
Richter here.
Weaver?
No, Richter.
Rooster.
Oh, Rooster. Hello. Welcome.
Hello, 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 guys.
It's so good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much. It's good to hear your voices.
Ah, too cool. Now, so I know Bobby was going to join us as well. Bobby, are you there at this time? No, Bobby's not there yet. And now, Weaver, where might you be?
I'm here.
Okay.
I think I was on mute. Hello. I don't even know if Rooster heard me saying hello. Hello, Rooster. Nice to hear you. Okay.
Hello, is that Weaver?
It is, my darling. Yes. Hello.
Hi. Are you a Scottish lady?
I am, yes.
Well, we're not too far away, just across the Irish Sea.
Yeah. Well, my granddaddy was Irish, so I'm a Mungo. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
that's good.
Harities. The Harities. That's quite an Irish name, isn't it? Or is
that's
it?
A good name, yes, indeed.
Yes. He was a little
guy.
Whereabouts
in Ireland was your grandfather hailed from?
You know, I don't know. I'm terribly sorry. I don't know. I lost them when I was very young, so I don't know where they came from. It's away somewhere. I never asked, funnily enough. But then again, that's my problem. I never ask questions. I must be the most incurious person in the world because I don't do that. And everybody gets annoyed at me for it. What did they say? I don't know what they said. Okay. Let's get back to this.
Always good to know.
Yes. But as usual, I'm talking too much. Sorry, peeps. Right, Diane, where were we, darling? Have you commented on Mangy Cat? Diane, now you're on mute, darling.
Yes, I certainly did comment on Dr. Seuss.
But you didn't know you said it. I remember. And Dan did. So, Rooster, would you like to comment, or did you manage to catch this one?
Was that the one about the cats?
It was, yes.
I was in the process of ringing whenever you were reading that out, but I'll tell you something, I keep chickens and ducks and, you know, hence the name Rooster, but a cat is a very useful animal when you've got poultry, you know, obviously, if you're not careful, you can bring vermin about, but when you have a cat or two, it keeps them away. They don't like the smell of a cat even, so you never, nature's way of keeping things under control, so I always love to hear a good poem about a cat, and that was a good one.
It was, wasn't it? It was very good. Definitely.
Yes, it was.
It was.
All hail the cat. Cat.
Cats. I love that We Are Siamese cat song from, what was it? A Disney cartoon or something, but is it We Are Siamese? I love that song. Beautiful. It is so cute. Okay, Diane, where are we going next, my dear?
Next, we have a write called Block You by Lockdown Larks, and I'm going to ask Rooster if he would do us the honor.
Oh, it's very kind of you, yes. First of all, can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. The wonders of modern technology. Okay, if you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin. This poem's a song parody prompt. Queen's We Will Rock, Queen, the mighty rock group Queen, We Will Rock You. Just reading on the AN below there. And it's called Block You by Lockdown Lars. Here we go. Buddy, you're a troll, always a scroll, playing with a tweet. Gonna be a big scam someday. In your mouth you got air, playing with fire. Spewing your bile all over the wire. Singing, we will block you, we will block you. Buddy, you're a Twitter fan, hard man, shouting in your tweet. Gonna shake up the world someday in your mouth. You got a air playing with fire. Got no respect or any desire. Singing, we will block you. Singing, we will block you, yeah. Buddy, you're an old troll. Only one goal, telling all your lies. Gonna get what you deserve someday. In your mouth, you got air playing with fire. We'll all block you until your account they expire. Sing it. We will block you. Yeah, yeah. Come on. We will block you. All right, louder. We will block you. One more time. We will block you. Yay. The end. Rock and roll. That's rock. Very good. That was a real Queen party there, wasn't it?
Oh, it certainly was. That was so much fun. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't have
You're
to
welcome.
Read it.
Oh, yeah, that's why I got the job.
No, no, not at all, as if we'd pick on you. Well,
kidding.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. That was so cool. Okay, Dan, your comments, please.
Yeah, I couldn't stop from smiling. First, from the way that it was written, and then as soon as I realized where it was going and what song it was parroting, it was hard not to just try to, like, sing along in your head. But Rooster, man, you added a whole nother level. I have to say, I really enjoyed hearing
you
do that.
The check's in the post.
I think it's a party now that Rooster's joined.
Oh, well,
I agree.
right. Okay. Diane, your comment, please.
Yes, Rooster, you so did justice to that. I was just waiting for you to stand up with a wooden stick and tap on the floor saying, we will block you.
Block you. Block you.
I nearly was doing that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I could imagine it. That was just quite the show. I so enjoyed how that was read.
And I haven't even had any Guinness yet.
I have.
Well, get the Guinness in ya.
Oh, no, you don't know. You want that. You never get me off the line.
Well, that's okay. We need you on the line.
Really?
No,
that was a great write.
A great write. And thank you, Lockdown Larks. I enjoyed that. The We will rock you. I love that. Everybody loves that line, and you took it and went all over with it with We Will Block You on the social media spectrum. It's just really well written, very clever. Thank you so much for sending this in.
I agree. He did warn us, didn't he? And he was quite right. So beautifully done. And Rooster, would you like to comment on what you've just read? Or are you rocked out?
No, I've got my breath back. I'm okay. It was excellent. It was very, that's a classic song, as all most of Queen's groups were at the time, the late Freddie Mercury, the late great Freddie Mercury and co. And We Will Rock You was a real classic. And our friend here, Lockdown Lars, made a great parody. Only he's brought in the modern times of, as one of you ladies said, social media and all these trolls and everything. So he tied it in well with the song, and I thought it was marvellous wordplay. And the good thing about that, it flowed in lines and sync with the song as well. So that takes a bit of thinking and a bit of working out. So top marks to Lockdown Lars. That was a really great poem. I really enjoyed reading that. Hello.
Are you muted, Weaver?
I was muted, and I was so clever. I was being so erudite, and you've missed it all. Try again. Oh, it's the first time today, so that's not bad. No, and I usually do it. Yes, I totally agree with you, Rooster. That is not an easy thing when you've got a template to work with, and a tempo and everything to build your words into. Very well done. I thought Lockdown Lars did a wonderful job. And I love Queen. I thought, oh, my goodness. So good. So damn. I mean, I love the Beatles, but they came across second. Right. I see where we're going next. Right, Rooster.
I'm sort of jumping
you're
the queue
on.
Here. Sorry about that, ladies. I'm on the
not
pay box here, so
oh, right.
You don't
no
mind.
Problem,
I could maybe read my one. It's a wee brevity I did for Higgle Piggle on his, for the group.
Uh-huh.
We've got a dark humour. Is that okay to read?
Of course, Diane's got it on the board ready for you, so on you go, my dear.
What one are we talking about?
Sore Throat by Rooster.
I don't have it on the board. I don't see it. Sorry.
No, I have it on the board.
Yes, yeah, somebody put it.
Oh, okay. I better refresh.
Rooster's put
go
it
ahead,
on. Thank
refresh,
you, Rooster.
Man.
No, you're very welcome.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can apologize for jumping the queue a wee bit. It's just I'm on the payphone, so I can't stay on too long.
No problem. You go for it.
Okay,
over to you.
Are you all sitting comfortably?
We are definitely, yes. I've got my gin in my hand. On you go. You can do no harm.
Good. Hold on to your armchair. Hold on to the arms of your armchair now, because this is an awful tragedy that happened to me a while back. Suffice to say, I'm okay now. So here we go. Doesn't take too long. It's called Sore Throat. A farm of land once I proudly owned. Fertile lands of emerald green. Cattle, horses, pigs, chickens, sheep. 40 wheat there had been. At weekly markets, peddled my wares. Made more than a pretty penny. But if truth be told, alas, now all sold. Too fond of ale and spinster Jenny. A guinea once earned, twice, spent thrice. Stout on top, it flowed down my neck. My Jenny come lately, her promise of love. So very soon, I was signing blank checks. And last now, I've lost a lot. Livestock, land, and love. Unable to swallow. A sore throat I can't bear. A visit to the doctor, adding further to my woes. As he looked past my tonsils, saying, what I can see down there. Sorry, what I can see is a farm of land down there. Boom, boom. End poem. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the crack today, this afternoon. Brilliant fun. And keep swilling the Guinness.
Oh, that was awesome.
It certainly was. Thank you, Roosters. I'm so glad you came to let us hear that one. Okay, Diane, your comment. Look at the picture.
I know. I didn't know where to go. When I saw the picture, I thought, where are we going? I thought, oh, my goodness. And then I look at the picture and I go through, awesome, right? Like a guinea earned once, twice, spent thrice, stout on tap flowed down my neck. My Jenny come lately, her promise of love. Very soon I was signing blank checks. Excellent rhyme, great word choice. What you put together an awesome piece here, Rooster. Sore throat, what it can see, as he looked past my tonsils saying, what it can see is a farm of land down there. Excellent, right? Enjoyable humor and thoroughly glad you brought it to the show.
I agree totally. And Dan, your comments, please.
I like this line here where it says, now I've lost the lot, livestock, land, and love. It's just the alliteration is crazy good there. And, the whole piece itself is hilarious. He drank so much that you can see it. You can literally, the doctor can literally see the farm that he drank away down his gullet. So I just thought it was beautiful. And I love the story. Just he sets it up and then there's not a lot of fat on it. You know what I mean? It just goes right into it and then delivers. So I thought this was awesome. Good job, Rooster.
Yes, good job, Rooster. You write like I do. I can't do metaphors, and I can do a bit of alliteration, you know, sometimes. But metaphorically speaking, I'm rubbish. So you write like I do, straight to the storyline, straight to the punchline, right in there. Love it so much. Thank you so much, Rooster. Oh, I think Rooster's gone, has he? That payphone must have paid out. Okay. Bye-bye, Rooster. Thank you. He'll probably go back and listen to it later on, won't he, and hear our comments. Oh, okay. That was wonderful. Diane, where do we go next?
Next, we have a write called Frick and Frack by Boodle. And Weaver, would you like to read that?
I would, my darling, if I can actually get it, but I have to refresh, I'm afraid. I seem to be getting only half of some of... Oh, here we are, Frick and Frack. Here we go. Frick and Frack went out to frat at Paddywhack's hot tuna shack. Frack said, Frick, hey, look at that. Paddy's gal in that freaking hat. Frick said, Frack, I'll take a crack, bum shellac, Ms. Paddywhack. And as Frick went into the shark attack, Paddy eyed the tuna shack. Hey, you Frick off. Oh, no, sorry. You can't Frick off. Hey, you Frick off of Mrs. Whack. I get Frack out of my freaking shack. So Frick and Frack bounced that shack, running like streaking heart attacks. Ooh, we showed them, said Frick to Frack. But they had shat on that. Oh, I'm sorry. How could anybody read that without laughing out loud? That's so good. Freaking wonderful. Oh, I enjoyed that. Boo-hoo, you little devil. Right, so Diane, your comments, please.
Actually, before I comment, Weaver, we have Bobby come to the show.
Oh, but... wonderful. Hello, Bobby.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm late. The most ridiculous reason. I fell asleep at the kitchen table over a cup of coffee.
That's not a bad excuse. That's not a bad excuse at all. I fell asleep on my keyboard the other night, and I woke up with D-H-J-K.
Well, I know what you can do. They've got a medication now for those square bruises that you can have on your forehead.
Oh, I felt such a fool. Woke up thinking, what day is it? Where am I? Who am I? Oh, dear. Oh, yes, wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm glad you're here. And you know who's here? Us, me, Diane, Dan. Rooster was here, but Rooster's fricked off.
Hey.
Well, that sounded like testosterone to me.
It certainly was, yes, it certainly was. Okay, now, did you manage to hear Frickin' Frack, or were you busy getting on?
With your wonderful reading and your giggling, yes, I did.
Sorry, I should be more serious. I'm such a bad influence. Ah, oh, but Frick and Frack, I mean, come on, you could not resist it. Okay, Right, Bobby, we'll put you to work as soon as you're here. Would you like to comment on all the facts?
Oh, I think this is wonderfully clever. Butho is a wonderful lyricist anyway, and his songs are always a delight. This is a bit of unexpected humor from him, and I'm very glad that I got a chance to be treated to this because it is a very clever write. I mean, this is one of those – I've done these where you have the same – sound at the end of every line, and you really have to massage them to get them to work out. But when they do work out, they're wonderfully entertaining. So this is great. I liked it. And running like a streetcar to text. This is it. We showed them, but that was that. It was very funny. It was wonderfully whimsical and very enjoyable.
Thank you. Yes, it was. It was so clever. Hi, Diane, would you like to comment, please?
Yes, absolutely. This was absolutely enjoyable. Frickin' frack. And like Bobby said, you know, the rhyming at the end of every line like that. But not just the rhyming at the end of every line, but carrying it through throughout the whole poem. Like, frickin' frack went out to frack. Frack said, frickay, look at that. Frick said, frack, I'll take a crack. Burn shellac, Ms. Paddywhack. That sound, that A, ack, mack, paddywhack, frick, frack, shark attack. That's just, I love it. What is it called? I can't put something or other. But it's made me smile all the way through. It was so well written. It's so perfect for this this scene this week. Well done.
Assonant. Yeah, it's assonant.
Right. Yes.
Assonant. The sound. Very good. Thank you so much. I knew you would come in with that, Bobby. You're always on the ball. Bobby on the ball. That's going to be your nickname.
Encyclopedic breeding.
Yeah, probably better than Paddy on the ball. Pop, body on the ball. Bobby on the ball. Oh, dear. I'm just getting too excited. Okay, Dan, would you like to comment on... I know, I can't help. It's my age. Dan, would you like to comment on this?
Oh, yeah. I love this. And one of the parts I loved is the most was listening to you try to keep it G-rated because he had worded it in such a way that you wanted to read it a different way.
Yeah, little devil.
Which is really cleverly done. I mean, the whole thing is really cleverly done. But to me, you said the terminology assonance, and I'm not – like very learned about a lot of the terminology, but to me it's a tongue twister all the way through. And who doesn't love a good tongue twister? They're very memorable. They stick in your head. Once you read them like once or twice, they are stuck there. They are not going anywhere. I think this would be the same way if I dangerously read it more than a few times. I'll be all freaking and fracking.
I was just going to say that. You'd be fricking and fracking all over the fricking place. Oh, so I'm sorry. I just think it's so clever. Diane, would you like to comment or have you commented? Diane, are you on mute, my darling?
No, I did comment.
Thank you. I told you, it's age. I don't even remember who I am, never mind where I am. Okay, so I can comment then. Well, I thought this was, I've already said I thought this was absolutely wonderful. He did catch me a couple of times, a little devil. But I thought that, I mean, frickin' frat, it's just beautiful. Why hasn't somebody written this before? It just probably have. So good. Frickin' frat going out to frat. At Paddy's Wax Hot Tuna Shack. Oh, man. Oh, I love it. He has to get, he's getting a little bow from me because he's our big bow from me because that was so clever. Thank you. And I want more of those, Brew. That was brilliant. Oh, okay. Sigh. Right. I hate to leave it behind, but we have to go on. So, Diane, what do you have for us next?
Next, we have The Idiom Bird by Amuse. And would you like to read that for us, Bobby?
I would love to. I want to make sure I wasn't on mute. Otherwise, I was talking to my coffee cup. All right. Which the stranger things have happened. Okay, How I Met Your Mother. Is it the one?
No.
The one we're looking for?
No.
So,
I think you might be looking at the bottom of the list. Sometimes it flips on me too.
Idiom Bird?
That's it.
Yes. Very good. Too many things going on my screen here. What happens when you fall asleep in the middle of the day? Okay. The Idiom Bird by Jack Amuse. The idiom bird sits on her moss, feeling existence is drowning in dross. What is my life worth? She softly bemoans, but soon perks up eyeing her new rolling stones. And boom.
That was brilliant. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful read, The Idiom Bird, and I love that picture. Whoa, nice pair of earrings they would make. Okay, Dan, your comments, please.
I was just looking at some of the other comments because some of these words I'm not as familiar with. Idiom. Can someone give me a definition on that?
Idiom, I think it's a saying. Is it a saying or something? Is it something like that?
Yes.
I don't know.
Me a moment.
I think you need me.
I'll have it for you.
Okay, tell me, please.
Isn't it like a sarcastic? I know what it is, I just don't want to. It's a group of words established by usage as having a meaning not deductible from those of the individual words, like raining cats and dogs, raining pitchforks and pruning shears, that type of thing.
Right, I thought it was something like that. Thank you. I love when you're on to give us so much insight. Okay, Dan. Back to you,
so it's a bit like a cliche.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm judging by the picture, the new Rolling Stones are the diamonds. I love the rhyme and the cadence to this. And it looks to me like the idiom bird, which I'll be honest with you, I'm having a hard time following it a little bit. But it almost looks like, what is my life worth? She softly bemoans. But as soon as she gets her diamond ring, then she feels like she's worth something. Am I picking up on that correct? Is that what y'all are seeing?
In terms of Lewis Carroll, it's nonsense. It's like the Jabberwocky.
He invented
the idiom bird.
Oh, okay. I'm the idiom bird.
it's just a flight of fantasy and cadence,
it's beautifully done. I mean, it's really well crafted. I guess I was trying to look for some meaning that, you know, that I just wasn't catching.
Pardon the old
cliche, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Oh, yes, exactly. We do tend to look too deeply, don't we? And we tend to think we should be able to understand everything, and that's not going to happen. Like you, Dan, I was sitting thinking, I thought perhaps...
Definitely not my case. Sorry.
I thought maybe this was a magpie-type bird that had collected these stones and just enjoying the shininess of them. But, you know, we all have our own interpretations. I haven't got a Scooby. But I think, as you do, that it was beautifully written, and the cadence and it just boop de boop de boop de boop along, which I like, a boop de boop de boopy kind of poem. It's akin to a limerick, but without, you know, the same way of being written. But it's just got the same kind of happiness about it, which I thought was lovely, even though it's quite sad. Okay, Diane, my dear, your comments. Tell us what you think about the idiom bird. Are you on mute, hon?
I was mutating. My bad.
No problem. It's allowed.
Yes, I was with Dan on this one, and then when Bobby described it, it was like I couldn't get it first, but then it's like when you look at it as it has meaning with no meaning. It makes not meant to. You know what I mean? It's the idiom bird sits on her moss, feeling existence is drowning in drops. And I took the humor out of it with the last line, her new rolling stones. And I just, I see exactly what Bobby's pointing out here. It's like it doesn't have to, not every cigar has to be a cigar. Just because you call it a cigar, it doesn't mean it's a cigar. It's a well-written piece and very enjoyable. And like Dan, like you said, it's well put out there, very well scripted. And very glad to have it on the show.
Yes, I agree.
T'was brillig and the slidy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. Oh, mimsy was a boar robe, and mom wraps out grabe. It's the same thing.
I love it. Along the same lines as the Beatles, I am a walrus. Same idea, taken from Alice in Wonderland, obviously, but beautifully done. Thank you for your help. And Bobby, have you commented on this yet, my dear?
I think I just did.
Okay.
It is, it's one of those things where we find ourselves structuring our thinking so much that you have to dip your toes into Lewis Carroll or Dr. Seuss or Ogden Nash, and they're freeing because they make up their own words and their own characters. Mm-hmm. You've got the Dr. Seuss with the northbound Drax and the southbound Drax, and you've got Ogden Nash with my favorite one, shake and shake the ketchup bottle, none'll come and then a waddle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one a lot. Yes, that is so, I mean, I have to agree with all of you. I think it was beautifully done. And sometimes, yes, a cigar is just a cigar. I actually managed to understand a couple of poems the other day. Metaphorical, they were full of alliteration and metaphors and everything, but I actually managed to get to the root of the story, and I was so proud of myself because it's taken me this long. I don't normally get them. I just go, very nice. So yes, I'm beginning.
You want to get tangled in metaphor? Peter Solway is very good for that. He writes well, but mm-hmm. he is just I read his stuff and I kind of go, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm Scottish.
I can't grasp it. I really can't.
Yeah, that kind of annoys me a little bit because I feel incredibly stupid. But as I say, we're Scottish. We call a spade, that's it.
Oh, no.
I fall back on that.
That's not a nationality thing, I promise you.
I envy anybody who can do it. I don't know what it is about my brain. I think, unfortunately, I have like a half male, half female brain, and it's very difficult to marry the two together. So I tend to look at things in a different way from most people. So,
oh dear.
But there we are.
That begs the question. Do you button right over left or left over right?
I don't button at all. Da-da.
There you go, and there's the answer.
Oh, dear, I've just let out too much.
I'm learning all kinds of things today.
That's why she draws crowds. She draws crowds wherever she goes.
Oh, dear,
I tried that once. I ended up locked up.
Oh, life is for laughter. That's all I can say. Life is for laughter. If you can't laugh, then just put down the coffin lid and screw me down.
Well, if we're talking about people being unbuttoned, I'm glad we're on the radio and not TV.
Wouldn't that be fun? We'd have them leaving in droves.
Run screaming from their parlors.
Yes. No, I can honestly say, I can say with all sincerity, I have a face for radio. Simple as that. Boom. Right, Diane, my dear, where are we going next?
Okay, next. We are going to a piece by a friend of ours. Would you like to read this one, Weaver? And if you could just go around the room, I'm going to be right back.
Okay, I think I've actually got a SoundCloud on this one. I hope.
Okay. Yep.
Pam, darling.
Yep.
Maybe not.
I'm sorry. Hello? Did I miss something?
No, just I've got a SoundCloud on this one, I think, but I don't know if Pam heard me. Can you punish Can I Punish You by Weaver of Dreams, Pam? Do you have the SoundCloud? Okay. Not a problem.
It looks like it's down there at the bottom, isn't it?
I'll just read it. It's no problem. Except it's a play on words, which means I'm going to stutter. Right. In Scotland, we'd like to see a play on words. Shop names are always a wonderful source. I spotted Specs in the City, a joy. There's a cafe aptly named Respite. Next, a hairdresser called Curl Up and Dye. We also have a barber named Just Ahead. One, a touch more Scottish, is Affier Heads. Then try It's So Easy. Next is Just So. Check out Delights. Guess what they sell. Or Run for Your Life for your sporting needs. End poem. Oh, dear. I was in a silly mood. Right, okay. sorry. Bobby, would you like to comment and please be kind?
Well, actually, I have a couple of my comments down there. I added, I said, and the crafter supply store called Ready for It, Leather or Not.
I like that so much.
And the bakery that is calls itself a bun in the oven. So I like those play on words, too. We used to have a columnist here in D.C., I can't remember the man's name, but he was so clear. He would occasionally, in his column, he collected the names of people whose vocations were the same as their names.
Oh yeah.
And he would occasionally, about like every quarter, publish a column that was just populated with these names of people. It would be like doctor, who was a doctor, or I actually sent one in one time, and he said it was so subtle, he loved it, because I called him up, and I had worked at the museum, at Marine Corps Museum, and in the publishing department was a lady called Kathy Kearns.
Say
that
again.
For those of you who don't know, you know what kerning is? Kerning
no.
is the gutter down the center. Is down the center of a page of type. The gutter down the center is a kern.
Right.
And one,
oh.
Yeah. So I love stuff like that because it really my mind loves playing with stuff like that. To me, it's like the rubber band. It just you can't play with it enough. But I loved your piece. I really did. I like that you can catch those things. Your mind catches has a filter for those, and you catches them. Like I've seen Curl Up and Die several times, and Specs in the City, that I loved. Just the whole thing, very clever, and it shows you how much fun you can have with words if you understand your language.
Oh, yes, I have to say, my dear, that you are one of the Dions of that. You are so, I love your limericks. You're so clever with words. I do, I love them. I think you do so well. And it takes a lot, I think, to weave things in so people can enjoy them. When I could walk, I used to go around all over Scotland, going into garden centres, going into antique centres, going into charity shops, and just looking at the different names and things that you could find. I loved it. I'd love to. Okay, Dan, your comment, please.
Well, my comment is starting out with a question. Are these actually real places?
Yes, they're places I found. No, I found them.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know if you'd made them up. Cause, I mean, some of these are just whoever made them up. And thank you for bringing them to us because some of them are really, really good. But I also like the way you delivered it, too, because, like, we have a barber named Just Ahead. Want a touch more Scottish, off your heads. I like how you did that. And then check out D-Lights, guess what they sell. So, I mean, I really like the way you brought them forth, but really well done capturing all these. And what do you do when you find one, you write it down so you don't forget? Because I would forget.
Yes. Yes, I have a little book. Like, yeah, I like that. I'm very anal. Keep a little book with
me.
And every
time
I find a good one.
I need to start doing that.
Well, you should, because it's so good. I mean, I've got loads, but those are the ones I managed to fit in. Yeah, I love it. I love things like that anyway. Anything that's odd, it's wonderful. Clever. And
I
unfortunately,
you,
I'm not that clever.
Well, no, I thought you were very clever on it, because look at your title.
Yes.
I can punish you. Well,
oh,
keep
yeah,
punishing
yeah.
me. Thank you, ma'am. Can I have some more?
Oh, thank you. You're very kind to me, sir. It was a bit of fun, and I love a bit of fun. Now, I wonder if our Diane's back. Diane, are you back, hon?
Yes, I am back, my friend.
Okay, did you manage to hear that horrible thing that I just read? Or
that, I read that funny thing. I heard that funny thing. I love your play on words. A hairdresser called Curl Up and Die. Is that for real? Like,
yes.
That is freaking awesome. I enjoy that play on words and cafe respite. It's just like excellent, clever, very, very clever. It's you, Weaver. I've read your stuff, and this is your stuff. And it's like you said a little while ago, you get right into it and play it like it is and say it like it is. Awesome job, girl. You did a great job on this. Made me smile big time.
No, thank you. It's just fun, isn't it? I mean, when people smile,
mm-hmm.
It's the one I love in the world. It's more enjoyable. Whenever I'm in a crowd up there, I'm on. Ba-boom. Telling jokes, making people laugh. I love it. Anyway, yes, okay. Shall we go on from that? And what do you have from us next, please, Diane?
We have Pressing Questions by Dan Ellison. Now, is that you, Dan?
Yes, that would be.
Well, would you like to do us the honor?
Sure, why not? This is Pressing Questions. Shakespeare once said, to be or not to be, that is the question. He was not right at all. I'd rather no one said, to pee or not to pee, and never know until that first stop starts to fall.
That was just, I'm allowing you to enjoy the laughter, because that was so well done.
It was worth writing it. The laughter alone was worth writing it, I promise you. Thank you.
Yes, you deserve everything that you got there. That was brilliant. Yes, Bobby, did you want to say something, my dear?
I think I already did.
Weaver, I would like to say something, Weaver.
Yes,
I have to say for you, Dan, if you have a choice, I don't know how old you are, but I know with my age and being a woman, we don't have a choice to pee or not to pee. It's to pee or to pee. We don't get that choice. To pee or to pee. There's no other way around it. And I'm sure the ladies will agree with me.
Oh, well, you know, even more importantly than being a woman, an older woman, if you've ever been skiing, the credo for skiers is go when you can, not when you have to.
Yes.
Exactly.
If you're at the bottom of the run next to the lodge, you see this migration. Yeah, whether you have to, you go anyway. So you know, things can take their precedence. You don't want to be up at the top of the run going, oh my God.
Oh no, definitely not. My goodness. I had the same thing when I was a biker. You have so many clothes on when you drive a bike in all weathers like I did. The first thing you do is whenever you just have to strip everything off and go for it, girl. So, yes, I fully appreciate that. It was wonderful. Oh, dear. Right, Diane, would you like to comment on this?
I think I did.
Did you? Oh, dear. So sorry.
Yeah.
I'm desperately trying.
Yeah.
I'm desperately trying.
Well, I have a question for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Since Weaver was kind enough to laud my limericks, I can go with a brief brevity, or I can risk the wrath of the word police and put one in there that is like 43 words over 100.
Well,
are the word police listening tonight today?
That, no, I don't have any problem. What do you think, Diane? Let me go with you. Come on.
Well,
pack that whip.
I can honestly say I'm not the word police. Are you, Weaver?
Not at all, my dear. I'm everybody.
No,
for everything.
I don't believe we have any word police.
No.
I don't believe
we do.
One
he likes to sit out there on the board. Behind the billboard. He sits behind the billboard, you know, like the police car behind the billboard.
Yeah.
And when you go cruise by in excess of 100, he'll pull you over.
Well, he'll have a hard job pulling us over, won't he, Diane? We would just say, she lied to us. She said it was 100 words. And there we are.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I ain't hear nothing about 43.
No, nothing at all. That's my age. Okay, have you got it on the board, Bobby?
No, I can retrieve it right here. Just a moment.
Could, yes, stick it on the board, babe. I never thought I'd ever hear myself say those words, but...
I love it when you talk dirty.
Oh, I was so tempted.
Okay.
Oh, right, carry on.
Ah, here it is. There, and this was actually written to the image that's on there. And it was so wonderfully colorful that I couldn't pass it up. So here it is. And it's called it's a limerick called There Once Was a Glamorous Ape. There once was a glamorous ape who just adored velvet and crepe. She'd dress up in feathers and the softest of leathers and sequins in a deep shade of grape. Lulu was an haute couture chimp. She just loved to doll up and primp. Her styling's baroque demanded a cloak trimmed in ermine to cover her gimp. Lulu possessed boundless passion for apparel of limitless ration. Garbed in exquisite regalia and ornate paraphernalia, her display was the last word in fashion. She disliked eating meals at the zoo. Other simians she preferred to eschew. With her temper refined, on fine china she dined and read poetry to her pet cockatoo. She took an apartment in Paris, where she lived with the style of an heiress. She'd spritz on some cologne, stroll the Bois de Boulogne, and sip champagne near the light of Polaris. End poem. Wow.
Bravo, bravo. That's wonderful. And yes, completely that picture tells it all, doesn't it? Ah, okay, Diane, your comment, please.
Oh, I enjoyed this so much, Bobby. There once was a glamorous ape who just adored velvet and crepe. She dressed up in feathers and the softest of leathers and sequins in a deep shade of grey. I love it, the picture, the word choices, and I'm a sucker for limericks. And you've done real well here. This was excellent, well done. Lulu was an haute couture chimp. She just loved to doll up and crimp. Lulu, she's got it going on and excellent, right? Excellent. Just keep
Thank
on
you.
Keeping on, Lulu.
Definitely keep on keeping on. Well, all I can say, Bobby, is it's like looking in a mirror. It's
Oh, no.
Oh, dear me. I'm going to get past that picture quickly. Dan, your comments, please.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's kind of like that other one we read with a frickin' frack, with it being a kind of like a tongue twister. Limericks are the same way for me. A good limerick just sticks in your brain. Unfortunately, the ones I know I could not probably read on here. and you probably wouldn't want me to. But this is great. And how many of them?
Is it one about the girl from...
What's that?
A limerick about the girl from Venus, is it?
No, but now I'm going to have to look that up. I'll think about the man named Dave. So you did five of them, and I love how it just it continues the story on of Lulu, the prim and proper chimp. With a side of Polo. But no, that's
Thank
great.
Thank
you.
You
did a good job.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I had fun writing it.
Oh, yes.
You can tell.
Would have. Yeah, you would have.
It was a challenge, though. It was a challenge, though. I actually, and Weaver knows that when I start dipping into arcane terminology, I always put a glossary at the bottom. And in this case, GIMP is a silk or linen handkerchief, sometimes sheer, covering the neck and shoulders of the wearer, sometimes the entire chest. It was for women to show social standing. And so it rhymed, so I stuck it in there. And Polaris is the North Star. So,
yes, I love the fact that you give us a glossary. It does make it much more enjoyable. But if you know, you should look up Bobby's limericks when you can, because I've read loads of them now. I just think they were so good. You just have the patience and the vocabulary to just put together something really, truly wonderful. And so I thank you. I always have to thank you, but thank you. That was beautiful.
Oh, you're welcome. Like I said, I grew up on limericks, and we used to read a comic book called Classics Illustrated Junior. And in the last page, right before the cover, there was always some kind of an illustrated limerick. It was one page, and it was once was a man from False Heath who sat on his set of false teeth. He got up with a start and said, "Bless my heart, I've bitten myself underneath."
Oh dear! Oh, that reminds me of I don't think this is a limerick, but this is one I love. The god of war went out one day, a-riding on his filly. "I'm Thor," he cried. And the horse replied, "'Cause you forgot your saddle, filly." Terrible. Isn't that terrible? But that stuck in my head forever. I love it. Ah, the horse with a lisp. So good. Okay, who else needs to... Diane, have you commented?
Thank you for
yes?
that.
Yes, yeah, well, I did
thank
comment.
Thank you.
On
thank
the
you.
Glamorous eight.
Yes, I kind of having so much fun, I kind of lose track. But that's my excuse for today. Next week it will be a different excuse. Okay. Bobby, what do you have for us next? No, not Bobby. Yes. Bobby, just sit where you are. You're okay, dear. Diane,
yes,
what do you have for us next? Oh, dear.
Well, next we have Pumpkin Spice by Cedar Chapman. And I'll go ahead and read Cedar's, right?
Okay.
Pumpkin Spice. Oh, my marvelous Pumpkin Spice, staring with those big old amber eyes. What adventures have you sought? Did you chase butterflies or swinging swallows and dragonflies? Snicker at the silly dog outside who runs in circles, digging holes all day. Did you perform the perfect ballet on the ornamental fence? Will I find a sparrow or a mouse in my shoe? A garden snake or maybe two? Would I be so lucky that it be a gift from you? Perhaps it is your validation that this flat is owned by you. Should I give you space then, offer you catnip as a spiritual offering, like Egyptian queens used to? You curl your pliant body around me, a ritualistic dance to enchant me under your spell. How you mark me with your potion as if to warn other feral cats. Do not touch him. I am the master of my master. Yes, yes, my ferocious feline tiger. Come to my lap and fend your helpless slave. You are my worthy master. End poem.
Oh, thank you, Dan, that was beautifully read. That's great. Thank you. Look at that little cat. I'm not a cat person, but that's a cute cat. Okay, Dan, your comments, please.
Yeah, this is a great little ode to what I'm assuming is the cat in the picture. And hopefully this pumpkin spice stays around all year. But I thought there was some pretty interesting parts in here as well. I like how Cedar Chapman talked about how cats used to be treated by Egyptian queens and you know, in that society. And another thing that I thought was kind of funny was how you mark me with your potion. I think we know what that is. that's a privilege from a cat.
you know. It can go either way. I did have a buddy that moved in with his girlfriend, and the cat didn't like him and would leave presents in his shoes. But I think in this sense, it is a mark of love. And of course, you know, bringing the stray animal or two, also love. So it's very lovely, very touching. And who doesn't like a good story about a pet?
Well, I agree. I totally agree. Well said. Thank you, Dan. And Bobby, what would you like to say?
Oh, that little face. That little face there. That with the who me look on it. Like butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. I have a cat that gives me that look, and I can't deny him anything when he gives me that look. He's my little charmer. He's my beautiful boy, and fortunately I don't end up with surprises. My cats are indoor cats. The worst it ever gets is in the summertime. You find the occasional disembodied cricket leg. No lizards, no mice, no birds, thank goodness. But they've got 6,000 feet to roam around in, so they're happy. But I love this because I've had cats and dogs. I grew up as a dog person. I fell in love with a cat person. So I'm now a born again cat person. But the animals, the cats and dogs, their own distinct personalities, and here's an exercise in nonverbal communication. If you just but work with them sometimes, they tell you what they want. You just don't speak cat. not well. And mine does that. And I've you know, it's funny. It's now I understand how parents, how mothers dope out what their babies want. Because if you're paying attention, they tell you, and this is like the ritualistic dance to enchant, and how they claim you. They curl their bodies around you, and you're theirs. I really enjoy this because I can relate to it, and I love the name Pumpkin Spice, as I'm sitting here drinking a cup of it.
Oh, right. Okay, you can drink it. What did you do, put it in a blender? Oh, it wasn't a cat. No,
it's a very in the United States. It's a very popular holiday drink. We got Thanksgiving coming up in November, and so when it gets anywhere even remotely near autumn, the vendors come out with pumpkin spice flavored things everywhere. I don't know if I'm singular, but I remember a couple of decades ago. When the big flavor du jour was hazelnut, so but now it's pumpkin spice and it's a big thing, especially in Starbucks. They come out with their pumpkin spice lattes, and so it's kind of this rite of passage for the fall. You've got to get your pumpkin spice flavored anythings. So
right, I see. Well, you see, it's a whole different world, isn't it? A whole different world. We have haggis flavored things.
Pumpkin spice flavored haggis. Now,
oh man! Oh, that would be what? Who's not brought that one out? That is absolutely wonderful. I love it. Oh dear! I'll be mad. Hey, Diane, my dear, would you like to make a comment before we all go completely mad?
Yes, I enjoyed that. There once, sorry, looking at the wrong one here, didn't I comment?
My dear, you may well have done. If you can't remember, look at I. And Dan's commented, haven't you, Dan? Yes. Okay, well, that's it then. We've all done our bit. I'm so pleased and proud of us all. Come on, let's go. Back under control,
now,
woman. Okay, Diane, where are we going next?
Well, next we have a piece up by Jack Blue, and it's called A Donkey's Fantasia Number 6. And Dan, would you like to give that a read?
Sure. Like you said, this is by Jack Blue, A Donkey's Fantasia, number 6. Let me toddle with a snail. when a mad, relentless gale dances through the street like an intercosmic fleet. Who says time is money? Are you joking, honey? I'll climb the mountainside with an ant full of pride in quest of timeless snow where no ghost dares to go. Who said life is money? Are you serious, honey? My job is to be twittering on the trace of anything of zero gravity. Under Ladybug's old tree, who said coins are money? Yes, you're right, my honey, in poem.
Thank you. That was beautifully read. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, over to you, my dear.
Jack Blue, if you notice, he has a style on his naming conventions. And you've got the Owl's Ballad number 4, Cat's Fantasia number 6. And they're fun. They're almost like, again, this is like a head-on collision between Lewis Carroll and Jack Kerouac. You know, you get some fun in here with some great rhyming, and it's whimsy. Let me toddle with a snail when a mad, relentless gale dances through the street like an intercosmic fleet. Actually, what it does remind me of is Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes.
I think Gilbert was a lyricist, was he not?
Yes.
And his rhyming is very similar, and they would take these rhymes, and they're just wonderful storytelling, just like this one is. And it's fun, and it's just a little flight of fantasy. But Jack Blue is very good for this. If you read some of his other things, they are little flights of fantasy, and they're wonderful.
I agree totally. I love the way he's got them all numbered,
yeah.
and he follows them along, and you don't know what you're going to get. Donkey's Fantasia, you don't know what you're going to get. But absolutely beautiful. And Diane, would you like to comment, my dear?
Yes, I really enjoyed this. This, again, was like almost like a Dr. Seuss to me. It was, you know, the rhyme was great. The style, who says time is money? Are you joking, honey? Who says life is money? Are you serious, honey? Who says coins are money? Yes, you're right, my honey. That was such a great put together, clever wordplay in a brevity. Made me smile the whole way through. Thoroughly enjoyable. Thank you, Jack.
Totally agree. Wonderful. And Dan, you got to read that. Would you like to comment?
Yeah, I agree with everybody. I think it's just very uniquely constructed. And when I look at the title, it kind of puts me in the mind of the, you know, the Disney movies, the fans. And I could see this put to animation the way that this has been written. But I thought there was also a couple of things in here that kind of back up the refrain, like, let me toddle with a snail with a mad, relentless gale, dances through the street like an intercosmic fleet. I could see that animated. But the one that seems to me like has a little bit of a deeper meaning there is like, or the one I catch anyway, is my job is to be twittering on the trace of anything of zero gravity. But basically, just again, you know how sometimes you'll get wrapped up, at least I know I have in the past, I get wrapped up going back and forth on stuff that really makes no difference. And that's what I kind of got out of that little line where they kind of made it their job to be twittering on nothing, basically. But no, I think there is humor in this one. It's just a little bit more subtle, I think. I'll climb the mountainside with a handful of pride. In other words, no pride at all, practically, in a quest of timeless snow. But and it kind of almost goes back to that twittering about nothing, because the quest of timeless snow on a mountainside, you're going to find that. You know what I mean? But anyway, that's – and I could be – not catching everything. I think this is one that would have to resonate with me to catch everything. I think it's very cleverly done.
Yes, it is. Yes, what were you going to say, Bobby?
Oh, I just said, it sounds like you got it, Dan.
Yeah, I agree, you have.
I think there's more in there that I'm not getting, but that's, you know, that's par for the course for me.
I think you're spot on.
But this is pretty, in a way, it's almost like dark humor, a little sarcasm in there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the rhyme. The rhyme makes it so lighthearted that it, you know, it's almost unnoticeable.
Yeah, I agree. Bobby wanted to say something, my dear.
Well, I was just going to say, Dan, I will send you a link to Gilbert and Sullivan. And if you like the way this rhyme flows, if you're not familiar with Gilbert and Sullivan, he wrote operettas in the 1900s. And the lyrics are bloody brilliant.
Oh, they are. I agree.
And the sarcasm.
Yeah,
my favorite one is the night. My favorite one is the nightmare song. But
yes,
they're
that sounds good.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Send me that.
And I know all the lyrics because my father was a great fan of Gilbert and Sullivan, and so I knew all the lyrics when I was 8 years old. And I would sing along with Martin Green singing Gilbert and Sullivan. That's how old it is. But
oh, lovely.
If you read the lyrics, yes, he was supreme. I mean, no mm-hmm. one could do the Modern Major General like he could.
Oh,
if you read the lyrics as poetry, they are so brilliant, and the cadence mm-hmm. is so smooth, and the vocabulary. I learned so much. I learned what the word inured meant from listening to Gilbert and Sullivan. So I said the writing is just it's incomparable. So I'll put that out for anyone who's interested. But if you really want to read complex rhyme that is funny or has a lot of complexity to it, Gilbert and Sullivan. The one was the lyricist and the other was the musician, and they couldn't get along.
I know that happens a lot when you get these kind
That's
of working relationship, doesn't
yeah.
it? Seems to be something
that. Too brilliant.
Yeah,
I
think only Morecambe and Wise managed to keep some kind of semblance of friendship through their working lives, and I thought they were marvelous. But yes, Gilbert and Sullivan, you need to read them. They're wonderful. Now, has everybody commented? Has everybody commented? Yes. Diane, would you like to take us to our next destination, please?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Next, we have a write called Always on Your Phone by CRL17. And Weaver, would you like to give it a read?
Yes, of course. Give me a moment. I'm just going to copy that link and put it into LMP, and I'll be with you momentarily. See, I'm not one of these women that can do 16 things at once. Always on your phone. I love the sound of that. I'm just going to get it open. Give me a moment.
Are you familiar with the song?
No. No, I'm not.
Would you like me to read it? I am.
Oh, yes, please. That would be great. Thank you, my dear.
Yeah, no problem. This is a parody of a Willie Nelson song, Always on My Mind, by CRL17.
Yeah.
Are you
go
familiar?
For it, babe.
Are you familiar with it?
Yes, I know the song, but please go on. I'll need the gentleman's voice anyway. Go for it.
Okay. Always on your phone. Maybe I didn't speak to you. Maybe I didn't speak to you as directly as I should have. Maybe I didn't text you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said out loud. I'm just feeling so alone. 'Cause you were always on your phone. You were always on your phone. Maybe I didn't scold you when you were texting all the time. And I guess I never told you I can't drive your ringtone from my mind. You keep staring at that small screen. Girl, I think that you'll go blind. You were always on your phone. You were always on your phone. Tell me that your battery has died. give me one more chance to look you in the eye. Beautiful. That's awesome. Good job.
Oh, well done, that man.
And that's done. I'm sorry, in poem. And that was CRL17.
Thank you so much. Oh, I love it. You should have sung the whole lot, man.
I don't think
so.
Well.
Yeah.
You were always on my mind. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, so I'm not even going to try. Okay. Bobby, would you like to comment on that wonderful piece of reading and that wonderful poem?
Oh, yeah, I'm glad Dan read. You're right. He needed a male voice, and I think your rendition of it was lovely. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you recognized the parody there, because I think it made me appreciate the piece all the more. I really enjoyed that very much, and I think we can all identify with it. I have a small piece that I wrote for a contest for Lynn Gauthier that I'm going to pull up, and it sort of mimics this. It's only about six lines, but I'd like to throw it out there because it got me a gold, so I'm very proud of it. But I like that. I really like that you were always on the phone. And that's, you know, you see that so much nowadays that it's sad.
Yes, I agree. There is no communication now. I reckon it's going to be to the point where people sitting at the same table will be texting each other. Wouldn't surprise me. Probably happens. Okay, Diane.
Yeah, no, it does.
I'm sure it does. Diane, would you like to comment, please?
Yes, I really enjoyed this. And so true. We can all relate to this one. If it's not us, it's someone else always on their phone. Just excellent rendition and parody to Always on My Mind. And Dan, you sang that beautifully. I sat back and it was a little bit like a lullaby. I could relax a little and enjoy singing Always on the Phone. It was excellent. It was a great write and a great read, Dan. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, well said. Thank you. Dan, would you like to comment on how you did such justice to this?
Oh, well, I mean, Willie Nelson is timeless, and this is perfectly layered on top of his lyrics. The one part that had me laughing, I know y'all heard, was tell me that your battery has died. That still kind of gets me. Give me one more chance to look you in the eyes. Because, you know, we are all phone zombies these days. And CRL-17 captured that on top of this iconic song, you know. And it's just a great piece. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Sorry. I was just taking a drink of water. I practically killed myself.
I tossed mine out there, if you don't mind me reading it.
Okay, go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's on?
As I said, it was to Lynn Gauthier at one of her contests. Mm-hmm. And the image was of a hand. Thank you. It was of a hand holding a cell phone. And that's all you saw was the image that she had us writing to. And so, and this is what came to me, and the brevity is called Talk to Me. We've taken communication mobile in the 21st century. We've all grown quite dependent on this technology. To the powers of the internet, all have become a devotee. Instant gratification at our fingertips for the slightest inquiry. But as addictive as this modern electronic marvel can be, sweetheart, do me a favor, put the phone down and talk to me.
Oh, love, that is so good. Thank you.
I need
so
to send
much.
That one to my wife.
Oh, a lot of people in our lives could be doing with reading that, don't you think? Diane, would you like to make a comment on that, please?
Yeah, I was just reading the little cartoon. Do you mind if I stamp your phone to my forehead so I can pretend you're looking at me when I talk? I just love that. That's so sarcastic, so true. How many
mm-hmm.
times can you sit with someone, and that's the case. And well captured, Bobby, in six lines there. We've taken communication mobile in the 21st century, and that is so true. You know, like, we are in a different world. I mean, you all know with me back in the 60s, 70s, I mean, we would never have imagined we would be sitting in a restaurant with a coffee and a phone. I mean, could we ever imagine the phone getting further than the extension cord? You know, like, it's amazing.
I agree totally. In my lifetime, we've come from gas lights, in my own lifetime, gas lights to microchips, all of which I've worked with. Ah, wonderful, wonderful. And Dan, your comment, please.
I'm sorry, I was kind of looking ahead. and I did kind of make a couple comments, probably out of order. Sorry about that. But no, I mean, this is 100% truth, and I really do feel like that maybe I should print this out and maybe tape it to my wife's phone. Good. Will you give me permission to do that?
I'll take the blame.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea.
Because
okay,
I swear
you.
We'll go out to eat, and it's like, I'm only getting half of her.
No.
No, I mean, we're all guilty of it. I know I do it too, you know. It's just you only notice it when other people are doing it, though.
Yeah, very true, very true. I don't like phones, so I never even know where mine is. Put them in my bag somewhere. But people ring me, they don't get... I worked for years with Sky TV. I was a manager of a group of technical guys, 15, 16, 20 sometimes guys. And I had to deal with the people who were angry because they didn't have their television. Oh, so I hate phones. Hate them. Okay, Diane, my dear, I think you're up next, honey. Could you possibly read us your poem, please? My floppy disk by Diane.
I certainly can. I just thought because we had that one earlier that made me think of this. The computer, it's just, I loved that one earlier. It's called My Floppy, actually it has a SoundCloud, but I'll go ahead and read. It's called My Floppy Disk. You were my first love. I knew how to make you purr. I showered you with gifts of love, but not just roses and fur. More RAM, please, you whispered scantily into my ear. I ran my eyes over your perfectly curved mainframe. Yes, dear. Women wanted to look like you, and men just to be with you. But from that very first moment, I fell in love with your CPU. The years were good to us if I kept up with your demands. Buy me the best hard drive, you said, and I'll follow your commands. But over time, I have noticed you seem to be slowing down. Your memory is fading, and we can't even go out on the town. Regret I have to inform you, it's no longer you I desire. I'm moving on to the latest model. I'm in love with an Acer Aspire. End phone.
Oh, well done. That is so good. And that just flowed beautifully. Okay, Dan, your comment, please.
Yeah, this is what I was looking ahead at. Oh, no. I couldn't. You sucked me in with the title. My floppy disk. And this is probably the one my wife could print out and, you know, tape to my computer for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I think it's really cleverly written. You can read it on surface, you know, on the surface, you're talking about a computer. But you could also see this as you using the computer as a metaphor to talk about a real person. And I love that extra layer. I love things that are layered like that. So this did it for me. Thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree totally, Dan. Thank you for that. And Bobby, your comments, please.
Oh, my goodness. This is a flashback. I was, back was it, I'm trying to think, 89, 90. It was my last tour in the Marine Corps. And I was the LAN manager, LAN being local area network, for those unfamiliar with the acronym. I was a LAN manager for the Marine Corps Museum. And when I checked in, they were still booting from 5 1/4 floppies. And the setups are like what you see here in the picture with the tower either on the floor or underneath, and the huge CRT monitor, and it was everything. It was from DOS. You were booting from DOS, and it was you'd get the blue screen of death. You know, when you think about it, it's not that long ago. It's maybe 30 years ago, and you're looking at what was considered a very current technology at the time. We had when I came on board, they were using 8088s, which were just, they were about as slow as the changing of the seasons, and I got them newer technology, and there was it was almost a fist fight as to who was going to get the new computers, because people were just getting progressively more spoiled. And if you're back, and I think Weaver can remember back when typewriters were used to generate all your correspondence, and if the old man wanted to change something, you had to retype the whole bloody letter. And now you see people standing next to network printers, tapping their toes and their feet and going, come on, hurry up. You know, it's like, it's amazing how spoiled we can get in such a short time. I really love this, the way you've personalized the computer, and how the romance with the technology until it is superseded by a more current technology. And Dan's right, you can also superimpose a preference for older technology, and I will use the word technology loosely, versus younger technology. You could trade me in for two 34-year-olds. So was that an obscure reference? I guess it was.
Maybe. Thank you so much, Bobby. Yeah, that was wonderful. Diane, may I say, reading this, I know why I love you, my darling. That is just so good. So good. I mean, it was really beautiful. It just flowed. And I could see you sitting there getting, you know, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to make any comment. Just please boot up, you know, that kind of thing. But yes, sure, your old computer found a wonderful home somewhere in a dump. I don't feel bad about it. It's not your fault. Oh, it was lovely. Thank you. And it's a beautiful way to end the show, people. We've had a wonderful time. I really have enjoyed every minute of it. I wish every week was Humor Week because it's just a delight. Thank you, Bobby, for coming to see us. Thank you, Dan, for coming to see us.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry,
it's late. Yes, it is late.
It was
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, and Diane, thank you, my
great.
Dear.
Oh, thank you. And I just want to say, I don't know if you guys remember, because we got a minute here to fill or whatever, but if you guys remember the year 2000 bug, the Y2K problem?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
I had a contract with the Alberta government, and I crossed the country rebuilding all the government's computer systems for startup so that they would roll over for the year 2000 bug. And I'm not kidding you. I did 50% of them with a floppy disk, a 3.5 floppy disk.
Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
The command and the run command. I did that over and over and over and over. And that's what this one made me think of. I mean, but this was for a contest for your old computer.
All right.
Wonderful.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Beautifully done. But what a job that must have been. So basically, you had to try and make sure that the whole world didn't come to a horrible end. I was terrified. I wondered what the heck was going to happen. I was expecting planes to fall out of the sky, but we know it wasn't.
Yeah. You know, the fun thing about it was we knew nothing serious was going to happen. I mean, computer can only do what you program it to do. You know, it wasn't programmed to shut down, so we knew it. But I mean, it was a big contract.
And the media loves to, you know, it's a great spin for the media.
Yeah.
You know, they love the panic.
Yeah,
call it the Chicken Little syndrome. The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Yes, I can see it in the pond. Yes, I thought today was great fun. It was. Thank you so much, all of you. And Diane, thank you, my dear. You're always my strength when I start to panic. I love you.
Oh,
right.
You too, my lover, my friend. Later.
Later,
you guys.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Bobby. Good night, everybody.